It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, you do. You do come here to talk Bears football. I'm Mark Grody, and I love talking Bears football, no matter what. But it feels particularly good right now. I just got back from my local Jewels, and again, it's another beautiful fall feeling, just a little bit of crisp in the air. And I know for some of you listening today, excuse me, that kind of suggests college football, because I know there's a lot of college football fans out there, but the real stuff is the NFL, and that begins Sunday with the Chicago Bears. And we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I get to be here with you today until 12:45. That is when Cubs pregame will begin from Wrigley Field. Cubs rematching with the Yankees today, 1:20. First pitch to be made by Javier Assad of the 3.21 ERA coming into this game. Clark Schmidt pitching for the Yankees in this game. And, of course, Anthony Rizzo weekend continues. Aramis Ramirez was on the radio today. So I will have some things to say about the Cubs and, I guess, the state of the team. I mean, it's over, right? Five games back in the wild card now. I mean, you really dented yourself in that Pittsburgh series. But I will return to the Cubs. And by the way, I know this is the right way to say it. I'm kind of proud of the Cubs that they have gotten to where they are at 72 and 69 on the season. Like, considering where they were, and I was ready for the bottom to drop out. I think I even said it on the radio. And it hasn't happened. So there's a little bit of hope for next year. And it's good what they've done, but not enough. And we'll talk about the Cubs a little bit later on. But let's get in to the Chicago Bears. And if you want to participate via text or phone call, 312-644-6767 is the number to speak to me, Mark Grody. Tyler Farengold is producing the show, so he's the man to whom you will actually speak if you do decide to call or text at 312-644-6767. I don't believe that Tyler will be interrupting your text. He will respond to all of your text messages if you do make them today. So if you'd like to participate, I'm game. I guess I'd need to start promoting it even more. I've confused so many people with my Twitter, but I am at Grody Sports. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that is the way to do it. Formerly at Mark Grody Sports, but it's being rebuilt, I guess. And in the meantime, we are rebuilding. We've got our own rebuild going on. It's an expansion team at Grody Sports. We're struggling, man. So if you would like my content, that's where it is. And if you'd like to follow me, feel free. That'd be great. I tweet a lot about the Chicago Bears because, in large part, it's what I do. The Bears host Tennessee on Sunday at noon. And I've been talking about this matchup all week on the Score. But really, what I woke up realizing today after everything, and there's a lot of different parts in play here, and we'll explore a lot of them. But here we are. It really comes down to, in this game, which defense will rattle a young quarterback more? Will it be the Bears defense against Will Levis? Will it be an anxious Titans defense going up against Caleb Williams? That's really what it's all about here, because that's the part that Caleb Williams. We'll start with him. That's the part he hasn't seen yet, where for four quarters, defenders coming at him full speed with bad intentions, the whole thing. It's completely different from anything that he has seen, that is Caleb Williams, in the preseason and in the training camp practices and the OTAs. And how is that not? I mean, that's going to take a little time to adjust to for Caleb Williams, just in general, no matter what the case is. But in particular, you've got Caleb as a rookie. You have, I'm wanting to use the word anxious for Tennessee because there's so much new there. And we're starting at the top. They've got a new head coach in Brian Callahan. They have a new defensive coordinator in Denard Wilson. Father Callahan is the offensive line coach. So there's a lot of new, tons of new players. What, like 25 new players on this Tennessee team? So that's why I keep thinking in my head that there is going to be a certain anxiety that Tennessee has tomorrow, and they could either channel that for good or for bad. But starting with their defense against the Bears offensive line, and you know, they've got one like absolute stud defensive lineman in Jeffrey Simmons. He's a legit Pro Bowler out there, but the rest is a bit of a mystery on that defensive line. And we're going to have on Corey Curtis. He is the sports director at WKRN in Nashville, Tennessee. He's going to join us actually at 11:20. So I'll be able to get a little more specific on the Tennessee defensive line. But I don't think that there is a big fear factor there beyond Jeffrey Simmons. And again, we'll ask Corey Curtis about that. You got some names in the secondary for sure, and Amani Hooker and Harold Landry. They bring in Legarius Sneed this year to play one of the cornerback spots. So they've got some guys that you know, that you've heard of, that are capable of making plays. And this defensive coordinator, again, he's probably going to be anxious to let his guys loose. And I had one thing that I'd read early on about Denard Wilson that made me go, okay, all right, I see you, was when he looks up to and has worked with both Greg Williams and Todd Bowles, both guys who like to bring heat notoriously. So if that's what he's looking at, this is just going to be Denard Wilson's thing as a defensive coordinator, let alone against a rookie quarterback. So I honestly do think the Bears have the edge on the line. I know that there is much to pick apart about the Bears offensive line, and we have not seen this group work together in a real game. But Coleman Shelton is the guy at center. You know that Tevin Jenkins, left guard, Nate Davis will be your starting right guard in this first game. Darnell Wright, looking forward to see what he's got in his second year over at the right tackle position. And then over at left tackle, Braxton Jones, who told us yesterday that, yeah, Coleman Shelton has been the leader on this team. That it is his voice. I mean, that's convenient because he is the center. But so I do think that I feel pretty good about that group, especially if the offense does what I suspect it will do. I'm not saying you're going to see like John Shoup-esque conservative play, passing plays over 4 to 6 yards were explosives to him. That's not going to be the case. But I do think that there'll be some easy in playbook kind of things early on, and then they'll let them loose because we saw what Caleb Williams did in the preseason this year. And yeah, there was running the ball, there was short passes, there were screens, but then there was letter fly as well. So I don't think there's any reason we wouldn't see that. But if something is working, like the running game, if the short passing game seems to be working and DeAndre Swift is breaking plays and Cole Kmet becomes really convenient, then I don't think that I have any issues whatsoever with a game plan like that. But just be prepared. Just be prepared for this game on both sides to look a little bit sloppy. The Bears defense against Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, we had yesterday Friday can be a low-key day, not as many media out there typically. A lot of guys just trying to get the heck out. It's Friday. Guys are trying to get out of there. They got, you know, go home, have a good dinner before they get up and do a walkthrough and head downtown Chicago to stay at the hotel. So it's usually a bust-out day. But Ed's got some good stuff in the locker room yesterday. And particularly from Kevin Byard, the one of the Bears' starting safeties this year alongside Jaquan Brisker. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that, and everybody, if you're watching, you should be noticing as well, is that the Bears are still stuck in terms of who it is that is going to get to the quarterback opposite of Montez Sweat. That question has not been answered yet. And we've gone through it all, right? They've got Daryl Taylor here. DeMarcus Walker, maybe he revives himself. Dominic Robinson in his third year, maybe he reveals himself this year. Jervon Dexter, maybe he is a dominant, legit three technique. But what we've been seeing the Bears do to compensate for a lack of something exact on the opposite side is creativity. And in the way of using the back seven some, and Kevin Byard seems to be happy with the way Matt Eberflus and Eric Washington are calling this defense.
I think we've been rolling the dice a little bit as far as play calls as I've been here. And obviously I've heard from the guys was saying, you know, or even just looking at some stats where we didn't blitz as much last year. So I would hope that that stays that way, the way he's been calling the calls now. So, I always feel like just as a defense, you want to be able to mix up as much things as we can, especially with as a versatile group that we have. Want to be able to give different looks for that quarterback.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, all defenses want to do it. You want to confuse and go after a young quarterback who is a mobile quarterback as well. I think actually one of the most interesting things that I heard Kevin Byard say, and I don't know, this might have been even off tape, but it wasn't anything that he was given away, it was still right there on public display, what is that, you know, this is something I'd keep, I'm sure the Bears know this, I don't think I'm revealing anything to them, but one of Will Levis's tendencies, and Kevin Byard, big history with Tennessee, played with Tennessee last year for a while. Will Levis was the scout team quarterback while he was there. Ryan Tannehill was still the quarterback, just to kind of give you a focus point of where Kevin Byard is coming from and where his insight exists. But he said about Will Levis that you gotta be careful when he runs because he stays up. In other words, don't do what, and I understand the conundrum for defensive players. You got a quarterback running at you and you're not allowed to do anything to the quarterback, or you basically get sent to jail. So your tendency is to stop and kind of throw your hands up if you're a defender. But don't do that because Will Levis is the guy who might even look like he's going to go down, but he tries to stay up. So that's something that, and hey, if this message didn't get out to you, there you go. But you're welcome. You're welcome. That's from Kevin Byard. But I bet he made his voice known to the players as well. So Byard on board, you know, one of the most important voices in that locker room. He is a captain. So that what he says holds true, and he's got some unique insight on this team. One more from Kevin Byard right now. I asked him, how do you fluster this quarterback, Will Levis?
Once you get pressure in his face, you know, I think we'll have a pretty good game plan against him. Like I said, you got to get pressure against him. With any offense, you know what I'm saying, you want to be able to make him one-dimensional, stop the run first and foremost, make him have to throw the ball 30, 40, 50 times a game. Like I said, he's a very confident guy. He's a gunslinger in a way. He trusts his arm. He's going to throw in tight windows. So hopefully we can get him to do the same. And with as talented as our guys are on the back end, I think we better make some plays.
I know you weren't here last year, but do you think that this defense is capable of getting more pressure on the quarterback?
Based upon what I've seen, for sure. And even if we have to send five or whatever, you would love to just be able to get pressure with four. Obviously, with guys like Tez and all these guys, you want to get pressure with four. But if we have to send five, very confident in some of the blitzes we have. Obviously, Kyler made some big plays in that Bengals game and even Blackwell as well. So, yeah, I definitely think we can get pressure on him.
Yeah, it was the Josh Blackwell play that led to the Amen Ogbog Mamiga play. By the way, I talked to Amen. You know, one of the things that I've tried to be better at in my career for a long time now is, you know, if it's a difficult name, Learn it. If you're in my position, if you're one who talks about sports on the radio, damn well better learn it. You better learn it quickly. I mean, some names are hard to say. So if you stumble a little bit, then it's understandable, but you got to try. Cause I think that players take that, like, I'm projecting here. I would think that players probably get pretty irritated when people just sort of make a joke out of a name. And I've done it. I've done it. My God, I'm the guy that does the Harry Carey impersonation. And so I just asked him yesterday. I went up to Amen, Ogbog Bamiga. See, now I'm just showing off. And I introduced myself and just did a little small talk. And then I said, I got to ask you, man. I said, do you laugh or are you irritated when people botch your name? And he, big smile, he starts to laugh and he's like, man, he's like, I don't even care anymore. And he's, I was like, I go, seriously? I said, that doesn't, like, he's like, no, he's like, it doesn't make, he's like, I understand. I get it, but it was, I almost feel like I did him a service because I felt like he was wanting to say, because immediately he was like, oh yeah, I've been waiting to say something about this, man. Let the world know it's all good. So I was happy to hear that. But yeah, man, I mean, I can't imagine at this point, and I know you can't show everything that you want to do defensively in a preseason, which might portend well for the game as well. We might see some really good stuff. It is definitely, I would assume we're going to see that kind of stuff. You don't just play that in the preseason and then not do it. Something that I saw a lot more of early, like, I'm just going to be specific here. A lot of the blitzes that we've been seeing recently from the secondary have been the corner blitzes, Kyle Gordon, and Blackwell, as we were just talking about. But earlier on in camp, and probably in a couple of the games too, they were big. Oh, well, Tremaine Edmonds actually was. I was just going to say they've been dialing up linebackers more, and specifically TJ Edwards a bunch. But now, as I'm talking, I'm remembering that it was Tremaine Edmonds who did have, they dialed him up from linebacker. He came in, batted a ball out of somebody's hands, and somebody scooped. Maybe that was also Amen Ogbog Bamiga. I don't remember. It's the preseason. I'm allowed to forget those little details. But it just, like, it's not just, remember when Roquan Smith was here, they loved to dial him up, but it was almost like he was the only one that they would get creative. Hell, his first ever play, Roquan Smith's first ever play in Green Bay, because he didn't play any preseason, right, because of the contract stuff, comes in, Fangio dials up a blitz for Roquan, and he takes down Aaron Rodgers. So they were kind of starting it then, and that's a different defense. It's a 3-4, all that stuff. But I like what I've been seeing out of the Bears defense. We need to take our first break here. I'm really looking forward to this next segment. We're going to bring in Corey Curtis. He is a sports director of WKRN in Nashville, Channel 2 there. Uh-oh, it's their Channel 2. Corey Curtis is going to answer my questions about Tennessee because they are a bit of a mystery team. I mean, they've got stars on their team, DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, but there's a lot of unknown. I want to know what he – is this team any good? Because there's this assumption that they're just a pushover. We're going to find out next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They have players. They got guys on the other side. So they've got Landry in 98, and they got Snead obviously, and they got Diggs from Seattle, and all these other guys. Murray. They got some guys over there that I think fit their scheme well. They just got the guy Ernest from Rams and things like that. So I think that he's done a great job so far building his team, and then. On noon of Sunday, we'll be able to see kind of what they're actually doing, and then, you know, we'll make our adjustments in the game and then go from there.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man, somebody has done their homework. That would be Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears quarterback. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. But that's been one of the things that has been a theme out at Halas Hall this week. The fact that they have a brand new defensive coordinator in Denard Wilson, who has not been a DC before, and you can only know so much about the way he is going to run things. So that's why he was talking about, we're going to see what they're going to do, and we're going to adjust to some degree. So Bears and Titans out at Soldier Field at noon. I will be out there tomorrow, be part of the pregame show. I will be out there postgame as well, getting all the good stuff from the locker room. But I am so interested in learning more about this Tennessee Titans team because of all the new that exists and some of the names that Caleb Williams was just listing. So for that, we go to the guest hotline, the Score hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that is where we find Corey Curtis. He is the sports director of WKRN in Nashville, Tennessee. Corey, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yep. Also, Wheaton North High School class of 1993.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. I did not know there was a local.
Excuse me. 93 was college.
So you were class of 89. Okay. I was Lake Park. So you and I, man, we're friends immediately. I'm class of 90. So we know the exact same things in life. We could relate to each other. I went to Lake Park High School in Roselle and Medina, upstate 8. What was your conference back then? I was
DuPage Valley.
Oh, yes. The mighty DuPage Valley. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So did you grow up a Bears fan then?
Oh, I'm still a Bears fan. Come on. That doesn't leave you.
That's true. I just don't know how it works in Nashville. Like, are you allowed? Because I know there's some resentment towards Chicagoans, I feel like, in Nashville going with the Blackhawks thing. I don't think they
absolutely.
Our sports. They don't like us, do they?
No, like, you know, they're resentful. And, you know, they don't. The fans, they all think that I'm a fan of the Titans because I cover the Titans. And you know how it is. When you cover a team, you meet the guys, you like the guys, and also covering a team that wins is a lot more than fun than covering teams that loses. We both have experience with that. So while I'd like to see the Titans do well, my heart is with the Bears. You know who else grew up a Bears fan?
Who?
Brian Callahan.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
His dad was a South Sider. His mom's a North Sider.
Of course.
And he grew up his first 5 years or so in Champaign. And he was a diehard Bears fan, Bulls fan, Blackhawks fan growing up.
That's amazing. So has he been talking about that at all this week, or did he shut it down?
We asked him, and he is such an open guy and so unapologetic and just respectful of everyone and everything. Nothing he says ever seems offensive because it's always just genuine. And he was like, "Yeah, I was a Bears fan," and so it's an exciting game for him. Because he's going to coach against the team in the building that he grew up, you know, a fan of. So the game means even more to him.
That's amazing. So I guess while we're on Brian Callahan, what can we expect from what he will be? And we'll talk about the new defensive coordinator as well, Denard Wilson. But what can we expect from his side of the ball? I mean, he's calling the plays, right?
Yeah, he's calling the plays, and you know, he didn't call the plays in Cincinnati, but he was a part of the play calling process.
Gotcha.
You know, it is, and that's kind of the way it will be with the Titans, with him and Nick Holtz. Is he'll call the plays while Nick's up in the booth, and they will confer with each other, but ultimately he'll call the plays from the sideline. And this is, you know, look, I grew up a Bears fan, like I said, and I've been covering the Titans for 20 plus years. When was the last time we could have said these two teams were getting together? And we were talking about passing games rather than just running in defense. I mean, it's amazing.
Nice.
So you're going to look for this Titans offense to not be, you know, 80-20, 70-30 run to pass. They're going to throw the football. Now, I think a lot of it's going to be controlled quick passing game because they put a priority on completion percentage. You know, Will Levis last year was in the mid-50s, and they want him to be in the upper 60s to 70%. He was up over 80% in the preseason. So I think you'll see a lot of passes to the running backs in this game. There's a reason they've got both of those guys. They love both of their ability to pass protect and then get open on pass plays. You know, and I think they will, instead of just being a Will Levis chuck it down the field like he did last year offense, it will be more surgical and strategic when they strike downfield.
Yeah, I mean, and you talked about the runners and Kevin Byard. You guys are very familiar with Kevin Byard. He was talking about, and he might have just been, you know, some players will exaggerate, but he did say when asked about Tony Pollard, he said, "Hey man, I think they have two number ones with Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears." So he's not just saying that.
No. Tony Pollard looks phenomenal. He was hurt last year. His burst is back. I mean, I remember when he came up with the Cowboys, I was like, why isn't this guy starting over Zeke? I mean, he had so much more juice, and eventually they had to give way to that. He was hurt last year, and he still had over 1,000 yards, but he has looked absolutely unbelievable because we all assumed it was going to be Tyjae Spears as the lead back this year, and they would bring in a veteran to complement him. And so I was really stunned when they gave Pollard, I think it's 3 years, $24 million, and he's kind of 1A, and Spears is 1B right now. When the Titans offense takes the field, you'll see Pollard out there first. But he is showing a lot of speed. Spears is shifty with a lot of speed. They're both dangerous in the open field.
I want to know more about Will Levis and what is just the buzz around there. Is he expect the ceiling for Caleb Williams is superstar around here, and people have to be reasonable in Caleb's first year. But what do they talk? What's the ceiling talk for Will Levis?
There is no greater chasm in the NFL than the opinion of Will Levis in Nashville and the opinion of Will Levis nationally.
I love it.
For some reason, nationally, there is this belief that he's going to get benched. He's not very good. And I think it's because people didn't watch him play or know what he was playing with last year. They just look at the completion percentage. They look at the Titans record and they go, oh, well, he wasn't very good. He has a cannon for an arm. He works his tail off. He is unafraid. He is competitive as can be. You know, he's just got to answer those questions of, you know, decision making. And ability to make the right decision over and over again and, you know, not put the ball in jeopardy and to take the first down when it's there rather than hitting down the field. He's got – look, there were some people who thought he was – I think Mel Kiper had him as the number one quarterback on the board. He came out. And, of course, he didn't go till the second round. He's got ability. He's got ability. When you play in Nashville, you tend to get lost nationally. And, you know, there tend to be a lot of – uneducated opinions that get espoused by people. I'm not calling Adam Schefter uneducated. Adam Schefter knows a ton about the NFL and a ton about football, but he had a take the other day that I didn't think was very good, talking about Caleb Williams not facing a blitzing defensive coordinator like Brian Flores. And I got news for you. Denard Wilson's going to bring it. And he's going to bring it all game long. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, well, you didn't watch the preseason or ask anybody because Denard Wilson is going to bring it. And so we get these opinions that we hear nationally, and Will Levis is one of them, where it's just a complete difference. There's a huge belief in Nashville for Will Levis. You know, he still has to prove it. There's no doubt about it. We've gone through too many quarterbacks just like the Bears, where you see flashes, but you need to see them do it, and Will is the same way. But there is a belief. Look, they believed enough to build this team around him. Much the way the Bears have built around Caleb Williams. Yeah. I expect Levis to play. I expect him to play well. Will it be good enough to win? I don't know, because this is a good game, and these are two competitive teams, and you know one or two turnovers is probably going to be the difference.
Yep, you're right. Talking to Corey Curtis, sports director of WKRN in Nashville. I'm Mark Grody on The Score in Chicago. And by the way, Corey, we call that when the national media is not even close on the right opinion on a team. We call that, and this was coined by one of our hosts here at The Score, Matt Spiegel, out of town stupid is what we call that. So that hey man, I know it's Nashville. It even, trust me, it happens in Chicago as well, where you hear the national punch. You're like, what? Are they just like reading something that happened last year? I don't get it. I don't understand where they're coming from. You mentioned Denard Wilson, and let's talk about who he says he's going to bring the heat. I talked about it earlier that he looks up to Todd Bowles and Greg Williams, and anybody who knows the NFL knows that those guys like to bring it. You got Jeffrey Simmons, but what else? Tell me.
Well, yeah, Greg Williams is who he came up with the Rams, and you can absolutely see that influence in what he does. But they drafted Tavondre Sweat, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, to line up next to Jeffrey Simmons. He is 6'5", he is 365 pounds, and he is a force. He's a problem. And when you line those two guys up together, we didn't see Simmons in the preseason, so we haven't gotten to see it. But just watching practice, the Titans paid Lloyd Cushenberry a whole bunch of money to come in and play center this year. And I don't know if he enjoyed the assignment all during training camp, because he had his hands full with that dude. You see him and you think, oh, he's going to be tired. He's not going to be able to play. He plays hard. He continues to play. He stays on the field. You know, he had the DUI before camp, before the draft, I should say. So there were a lot of feelings about his character. He's been a great teammate. He's worked hard. He's been wonderful to talk to. And like I said, watching him in practice, he's a problem. And the two of those guys together, if they can keep him on the field and healthy, are going to be a problem collapsing the pocket inside. I don't think their exterior pass rush is like top half of the league. You know, Harold Landry is good. Arden Key is okay. But the two things they're going to do is try to collapse the pocket in the quarterback's face and not give him a place to step up, and then have him not have a place to go when he gets to the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can hem him in. And then the other thing they're going to do is you're going to see blitzes from all over the field. You're going to see it from the nickel. You're going to see it from the safety. They brought in Jamal Adams, who's not going to play, just basically to blitz from the safety position. That's pretty much what his job is.
What a great job. That's such a great job.
and like, you know, they brought in, you know, you brought up, I guess Cale brought up Ernest Jones. They just brought him in from the Rams, and he's a great fit for this defense. Well, they also brought in, his name's escaping me now, Kenneth, the middle linebacker.
From
the Chargers. I'm sorry, I'm having brain death here. But, you know, he did not do great with the Chargers because they had him thinking about 9 million different things and going in 8 million different directions. And they have told him they just want him to go forward. Just find the ball and destroy it. And so they're going to be blitzing all of these guys a lot. And it's going to be high risk, high reward. They're going to give up some plays. And that's why they paid Snead and Awuzie on the corners, so they could take some chances. And so, you know, you're going to see them take some chances. And if the Bears can pick it up, you know, their receivers are good enough, they should win some battles, and Williams should have some shots to make some plays.
Kenneth Murray Jr. is the name that neither you nor I could get out of our mouths.
Yeah. I kept wanting to say Kenneth Miller, but I'm like, that's not it.
No, he's a Murray.
He's one of those guys, the first day he came out in practice in, like, the cutoffs, and the cutoff jersey.
Okay.
He was one of those guys you were like, oh my God, he's terrifying. I mean, just, you know, one of those action figure physique guys.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Sometimes those guys are really good and sometimes they're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Bears have a guy like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Dominique Robinson, Bears fans, would be that guy for the Bears, the third-year defensive end. And while I'm at it here, Corey Curtis, Bears fan, what do you think? Like, what's your thoughts on Caleb Williams, man? Like, the whole thing that's happening here, Bears fan?
Well, okay. First and foremost, I have thought Caleb Williams is a generational talent for about 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And I never thought the Bears were actually going to ever have the chance to draft him. So when they made the trade with Carolina, I was like, okay. And then when they got to draft him, I was like, oh my gosh, this is one of the greatest trades in NFL history. And then when you consider they also got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore as a part of that trade, it's up there in Herschel Walker territory trade. I mean, it's unbelievable. He has the ability to cash checks with his arm, and he can make all the throws from all the different angles. It's, you know, he's got to prove it just like everybody else. And I'm not saying he's Mahomes. I say he's Mahomes light. All right. Until he can prove he's up more on that level. But I think he just has unbelievable arm talent, unbelievable extendability on plays. You know, I don't expect him to run a ton. I hope he doesn't run a ton, because I'd like to see him do what he does best, and that's throw the football. But, you know, I know Chicago is more excited about him than they've ever been about a quarterback coming in, and they should be. They should be. If this one doesn't work, I think we just need to fold it up and say it's never going to work. It's just never.
Dude, I agree with you. I don't know how this will be handled. I mean, seriously, like, he has to be good. That has been my theme throughout when I am
being... Well, if he's not, everybody's getting fired, okay?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, he'll bring down. He'll bring a franchise down. I mean, he's the franchise quarterback, and he has the power to do all.
Yeah.
Do you, Corey? Do you care? Do you have a pick? Do you care to make a pick in this game?
Yeah,
do you
look,
have a score?
There's to me, anything. It's the NFL, and anything and everything can happen. And I really think that this game is a competitive, close football game. I would not wager on this game because I just think it can go. I think it's a coin toss. But the line is Bears by, what, 3 or 4? I would go Bears 24-21 with the home field, with the hype, and just a little bit more experience on the offensive side of the ball. The Titans are really young up front. I think Montez Sweat's going to be a big problem for Nicholas Petit-Frere on the right side. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. But it wouldn't surprise me to see this come down to the last 3 minutes.
See, I knew from the beginning of this interview that you and I would get along. I have the exact same score that I was forced to make a pick yesterday on our morning show. And in the moment, I was like, you know what, 24-21 feels good to me. But I do think it's going to be sloppy. I do think just because, like, yeah, that's easy to predict in the NFL in general. But having a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, I'm like, you got to prepare for him not to be quite up to the speed of things yet because he's not seen this yet, where the defense has actual bad intentions.
Yeah, and they're going to blitz him, unlike the preseason.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to come from every different direction. And they're bigger, and they're stronger, and they're faster than they were in college.
And that's amen.
Gonna take, that's going to take some time. I mean, I always see this with young guys getting used to the speed of the league. They always say they don't have to, but you see the angles, you see the chances they take, and it usually only takes a couple of weeks for them to figure out this isn't college anymore.
Right. Corey, this has been great, man. I learned a lot. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you out at Soldier Field tomorrow, man.
All right, go Falcons.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate that. Hey, man, the Packers lost last night, so that was good. How about the play that was just wild to me? Was early in the game, that disaster for both teams, disastrous first quarter. But and I was listening on the radio at the time because I was driving back from Hallis Hall. But the way it was described was that there were the touchdown throw by Jordan Love that got negated because both teams had 12 men on the field. That's not allowed. Both teams. So really, it's fair. And it's a touchdown throw, but it gets negated because it's offsetting penalties. That's wild. 309 texter has shared with me the name Alonzo Spellman. Yes. Well, you talk about guys that just look the part, sculpted defensive ends, and that never lived up to the hype. Alonzo Spellman, former Ohio State Buckeye, first round pick for the Bears in the 90s. He looked the part, and he just never got there, and unfortunately dealt with some issues and things like mental issues. But yeah, that's a great example. Dominique Robinson liked that. Bears still like him. So they were talking him up, man. They were talking him up. So we'll see if maybe there is that new shift, that upshift for Dominique Robinson as well. There's a Cubs text that I must read to you when we return. And we'll get serious about the Cubs at noon. We'll talk to Andy Martinez as the Cubs get ready to play the Yankees today at 1:20. I definitely have some thoughts on the Cubs and Anthony Rizzo and a great interview I heard on Inside the Clubhouse today. So we'll sneak in a little bit of baseball here, if I may, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Where's Steve Rosenblum? What the? Question mark. That's from the 708. Rosie is out today, so I am in. I'm Mark Crotty. Look, I'm a founding father of Saturday Suckage. Wake and bake. Whatever you're calling it. It's your choice, really. So I feel like I'm worthy of a Saturday Suckage every once in a while. Yes, sir. I am Mark Crotty. Here with you up until the start of the Cubs game. Cubs and Yankees again today, 1:20 at Wrigley Field. 312-644-6767 is the number. And part of what texters do, which for the most part, I don't mind, is they hold us accountable. And there are at least three texters who have informed me that yesterday on the Mully and Haw show, my pick was not 24-21, that it was 20-17. And, okay, I thought I said 20. I think I might have, within the scope of the interview, I think I may have said 24-21, and then at the end I said 20-17. So I may have just confused everybody. But come on, just go with it. All right, Corey Curtis said 24-21, our guest from Nashville. So just let me have this, okay? We both said 24-21. The Cubs thing I wanted to get to, though, was from stimulated by the 3-1-2. Grody, you're proud of the Cubs' performance this season? Stop yourself. Three games over 500, nine back in the Central, never contended for 5 minutes. And I'll add, this is me talking now, I'll add, as we wake up today, as the Cubs get ready to play the Yankees again today here on The Score, Cubs are five out in the wild card. I guess I should clarify. I did say that I'm proud of the Cubs, and I'll give you my long-form answer now on how I'm feeling about the Cubs. No, this has not been a good year for the Cubs. It started off well, and then when it went bad, it went real bad in the worst kinds of ways. Blown saves. From the very beginning of the season, there was a blown, I mean, how many blown saves do the Cubs have this year? 15? I mean, it's been horrendous in that regard. And then for a lot of the season, the offense was painful. Two things that couldn't be more irritating to take in when you're watching baseball. Blown games at the last second and games that look like they are gettable, but you can't push runs across the plate. So no, this is, and I am not proud as a whole. What I'm proud of for the Cubs is that they have, I thought they were going to just go down the tubes for a while. I mean, it just had a bad feel when everybody was struggling, when the offense was not hitting. I'm going back to when Ian Happ wasn't hitting. It looked like the bottom was going to drop out on this team, and it was starting to. But they have turned things around in terms of their record. And you're right, Texter. It's pretty hollow when a team is just three games over 500. But there was a few days ago, they were three games back in the wild card. And I know that you're playing a lot of leapfrog. And my overriding theme about this team has not been how proud I am. The overriding theme has been, if you've been listening to me, is that I don't trust the Cubs. I don't trust the Cubs. And this is what I said. This is when they were closing in on it. And I was like, okay, you've got my attention. And it was a week ago. And I said, hey, I'm happy. Again, I'm proud of what they're doing, but I do not trust them to put the foot on the gas and keep it going. It was, and then along came, it's been happening all year, these horrible trips, as in the kind of thing where you trip and fall down. Not the good trip, acid people. Well, I'll start with yesterday, and then I'll get to the real killer parts. But yesterday, you know, Yankees are a good team. They beat the Cubs 3-0, but Cubs had, what, one hit yesterday? Jordan Wicks was fine relative to the fact that it's his second start coming off the DL, but he walked four and was shaky early and gave up all of the runs in the third. And hopefully he continues to, you know, get his footing back. I'm not sure what he is at this point. Jordan Wicks, he's been fine, but I don't know. I don't know what the ceiling is on Jordan Wicks. But really, the part where I'm not trusting the Cubs is what happened on Monday and Tuesday. The losses to Pittsburgh. Devastating. Like, it just slowed the improbable roll. And when I say improbable, I'm saying that it was still improbable that the Cubs were going to get the wild card, even if they had won those Pittsburgh games. But there is no way that when you lose those games, and that is what has cost them the Brian Reynolds 3-run homer off Jorge Lopez, and Lopez has been really good, and then the McCutchen home run, and then the next day the Cubs are shut out by the Pirates. Cubs had bases loaded a couple times early, so that issue crept back up for a game against a less than average Pirates team. So that's the stuff that I ultimately, even when it started, the sun started to peek in a little bit a week ago, even at that point where the celebration and the coming out party for PCA was happening, it was all going down. You know, even at that point, they had to be a little bit realistic about this Cubs season. So it starts to be, I mean, there's still some now happening, and I'm still enjoying watching Cubs games and listening to Cubs games. But really, you start to slowly think about what is going to happen next year. But we'll talk about the now and the future, all of that next, because we're going to go out to Wrigley Field and bring in Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network. We'll talk to Andy next and answer some of these Cubs questions on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.